Well, happy birthday, America. Thank you all for joining us this morning. Would you bow with us in a word of prayer? God, we are truly grateful. We know that were it not for you, every freedom that we are enjoying this morning would not be possible. Were it not for your intervention in history, were it not for your work in Christ and your work through individuals in history, Lord, I pray that we would not take that liberty lightly, that we would weigh the responsibilities that come with freedom, that we would know what it means to live free. Lord, I pray that you would loose our hearts of the chains and the bonds that so easily beset us, that we would know what it means to be free, that we would know the liberty that comes through your life, through your love, through Christ. Lord, may this day not just be a day of celebrating a country, but celebrating your kingdom. May it be a day of celebrating you and your work. May we not have heroes beyond you and what you have done, what you have allowed us to enjoy for more than two centuries. Lord, may we treat it with the respect it deserves. May we be good stewards of this country you have given to us and entrusted to us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, obviously, you're not missing, you'd have to be missing a lot of things not to realize that today is July 4th, and how often does that happen, that as a pastor, we have the opportunity to celebrate July 4th on the actual day, not just to talk about it before or after the fact, but on the day. And today, you're going to hear a lot about, I mean, it's called Independence Day, but you're going to hear things about freedom and independence. And it occurs to me that never before in the history of our country has the concept of freedom been so necessarily, unnecessarily vague. As a Christian in the American culture, not just a Christian, by the way, freedom is not just an American thing. We are Christians, whether we're in the United States or anywhere else around the globe. We need to understand what freedom is. Today we're going to hear things like this, the preamble to the Declaration of Independence. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed, don't miss this part, by their Creator, with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Our national anthem, oh say does that star-spangled banner yet wave, or the land of the free and the home of the brave. My country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride. From every mountainside let freedom ring. Oh, beautiful for pilgrim's feet, whose stern impassioned stress, a thoroughfare for freedom beat across the wilderness. America, America, God, mend thine every flaw. Confirm thy soul in self-control, thy liberty in law. Even in our founding document, the Constitution of the United States, the First Amendment text reads this, and it's highly important for today. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. So much of our country is focused on freedom and liberty. So let me ask you something. What does freedom mean? Yeah, that's usually about how clear we are on what exactly it means. Because let me challenge you today. Maybe freedom isn't what you think it is. Because what we hear from God, the author of liberty and freedom, the one who endows people as creator with the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, he gets to define what that is. And the way he defines it is that to be freed from something is also to be freed to something. We were not, as a nation, not just freed from the shackles of a tyrannical ruler. We were freed to something. We Christians are as well. We're going to be in Galatians chapter 5 today. If you would stand with me as we read Galatians chapter 5, verses 1 through 15. The text will be up on the screen if you don't have your Bible with you. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Look, I, Paul, say to you that if you accept circumcision, Christ will be of no advantage to you. I testify again to every man who accepts circumcision that he is obligated to keep the whole law. Pause there for a moment. That circumcision is a sign of a law. It was a sign of not necessarily oppression, but connection to Moses' law. Don't miss that, because we're going to talk about that in a moment. You are severed from Christ, you who would be justified by the law. You have fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit, by faith, we ourselves eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love. You were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion is not from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. I have confidence in the Lord that you will take no other view, and the one who is troubling you will bear the penalty, whoever he is. But if I, brother, still preach circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been removed. I wish those who unsettle you would emasculate themselves. Boy, wouldn't that preach in today's churches? Not exactly our common fare, is it? For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the law is fulfilled in one word, one phrase. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. Thank you. You may be seated. Paul talks about freedom in this passage, and usually most of us, when we read verse 1 there, for freedom, Christ set you free, we go, yes, absolutely, amen, I am free. Free at last, praise God Almighty, I'm free at last. And we accept verse 1, but we kind of white over verse 13. And 14 and 15, where it talks about not using our freedom as an opportunity for indulging ourselves, but loving and serving each other. That's the freedom Paul is talking about. The first thing Paul talks about is freedom from the law of Moses. But again, we're not just freed from something, because the whole concept was, well, if we're freed from the law of Moses, that leads to what's known as antinomianism. There is no law. You can just do what you want. No, no, no. We have a better law. We have a better system, the law of Christ. See, freedom is not just doing what everyone else says you should be doing, or a human system. That just makes you a captive of others' desires. So I need a volunteer. Anybody willing to come up? Real quick, for an illustration. I promise I'm not going to embarrass you much. Don't make me call names. All right, Aiden, come here. You're up front. All right, Aiden, you just have to do one thing. Are you ready? Y'all know magic tricks that use, like, cards and everything? All right, Aiden, I need you to pick one card out of this deck, any card you want. Any card. Any card. Any card you want. Yeah. Why? Why'd you pick that one? It's the only one you could pick. Okay, thanks. You can have a seat, bud. He could only pick one card. Is that really impressive? What if I could tell you that I knew that was going to be the Joker? It's the Joker. Impressive, right? No, because it was only one card that he had the option for. I looked at it beforehand. He could only pick one. So, of course, that's what he was going to choose. That's not freedom, and we know that, don't we? When everybody else is telling you what to do, and that's what you choose to do. That is not freedom. That's slavery to everyone else's desires. We have a better master than this. He says in Galatians 5:1, "For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery." But understand something, that freedom is not an absolute liberty, total liberty from restraints of morals, ethics, and duty. Thomas Hutchinson learned this. Thomas Hutchinson was an affluent businessman in Boston, Massachusetts, Beantown. And in fact, he lived in a mansion. It was the nicest house in the city. He even served as governor of the state of Massachusetts. And he had the nicest, most lavish lifestyle, especially with his house. That is, until one night that someone burned his house down. What did Thomas do? What did Thomas do to earn his house being burned down, at least in the eyes of someone? Well, it might help you to know the year that this happened was 1765, and the crown had just enacted the Stamp Act. And since he was the crown's governor of the state, in a reaction, holding a stance that free people, he being one of them, disagreed with his stance, they burned his house down. See, we recognize something, that freedom does not necessarily mean that you are at liberty to do whatever you want and choose whatever you want. See, he lived through this. His entire family was not killed in the fire. And in fact, 2 years before 1776, before the Declaration of Independence was issued, he left because there was so much violence being threatened against him as governor of the crown. And he felt exiled from that point on. And he said in his own words that he felt exiled. He said that he would rather live in a little country farmhouse in New England than the best nobleman's seat in old England. But it's interesting who his ancestor was, Anne Hutchinson. She suffered religious persecution from Puritan authorities in the early 17th century, and that family suffered severe punishment for holding beliefs that other Americans rejected. See, freedom is not just being at liberty to do whatever we want. There are still guide rails in our life. That word freedom, here in this one, it literally translates as being loosed of bonds. So imagine a person in handcuffs, and suddenly they are unleashed. That person is free now, right? They can do whatever they want, except for fly, because they don't have the capacity. In fact, the Hebrew word, deror, for freedom, is used of a bird flying. And we often think, you just look at a sparrow. It is so much more free than us, right? But it has limits, doesn't it? Just because it wants to do something doesn't make it the right thing to do. My kids learned this lesson yesterday when a sparrow flew right into our window in our living room. We hear a thump, and there he sat on the porch, dazed, confused. What just happened? Well, you thought you were free to fly through my house. You were wrong. And so often we think that freedom is like that bird flying and able to go everywhere, but we forget something. If you removed the air from around that bird, what's going to happen? Not only would it suffocate and die, it wouldn't be able to fly, would it? There are guide rails. There are limits to that freedom. Later on, Paul tells us in Galatians 6:2, "Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." In chapter 5, verse 1, he says, don't go back into slavery to the law of Moses. Instead, have a better law, the law of Christ. We do what he has done or would do in our situation. We speak as he would. Why? Why are we following this law? Why is that so much better? Well, it's because we are freed from sin and to sanctification. Sin is doing anything that is not like God, and sanctification is learning to become more like God through Jesus Christ. We're not just free to do whatever we want. We are freed from bondage to our carnal cravings, and now free to be made more like Christ, to bear the image of God through the Son. So I need another volunteer. Please don't make me call names. Just someone come on up. I'm not going to call on Aiden again, the poor guy. He's just back from the beach. Awesome. So, I just need you to pick any card up here you can pick out. All right, don't tell me what it is. Now, it'd be impressive. Now, okay, put one back in. Don't tell me what it is. Show it to the congregation. It'd be really cool if I could tell you what card that is, right? I can't. But it's the Ace of Spades. That's bad. It's the Ace of Spades. All right. What if I told you that this entire deck was just Ace of Spades? It would be less impressive, right? No, it's not what happened. There's actually a whole bunch of different cards. But listen, can I ask you one question? I told you you could pick any card up here, right? Why'd you pick that one? You just picked it? Why didn't you pick my debit card?
I don't want to pick your
debit card. Oh, yeah, you do. You want the money. You could use it, right?
No.
Thank you. You can have a seat. No, you don't want it? All right. I know some of you would have. Because I said you could pick any card up here, and that was an option. If I were a man of my word, I would have had to have given it to you, right? See, we are limited by our own perspective. You didn't think that was an option. I honestly would have given it to you. I would have had to cancel it soon after the service, but I would have given it to you. Oh, thanks. You're sweet. So we have these options that are good things. We just are limited in our perspective and thinking, no, that's not even an option. There's no way I could be that. There's no way I could do these things. Look at what Paul says in verse 7. You were running well. What hindered you from obeying the truth? Look, this tells me something. He's saying for freedom, Christ set you free, but there's still obedience that's involved in freedom. There's still obedience. This is obedience, though, to the truth. Obedience to following what we know and we have seen to be reality. So as a person born in the late 80s, in my teen years, there was a movie series that came out. You might have heard of it, The Matrix. Can you imagine how boring that series would have been if Neo was woken up after taking the pill, realizes that he's just a copper top for the machines, and goes, plug me back in, man. I'd rather live in blissful ignorance. After learning the truth, he wouldn't have been obeying the truth. The Wachowski brothers would have been out millions if that's the way it had ended. See, when we are living as Christians in freedom, it's because we know the truth. We know the reality that is around us, and we have adopted it and recognized it as it is. This week, Alicia Garza, who, by the way, is one of the co-creators of the Black Lives Matter movement, she posted on Instagram Wednesday, on the last day of hashtag Pride, I thought it was appropriate to remind you that the queers are going to be all right, and I'm quoting directly as she wrote it, it's the rest of y'all we be worried about. There's more freedom possible for you if only you would allow yourself to be free. Obviously, Ms. Garza, you have completely missed what God is talking about when he says freedom. There is no freedom in just doing whatever you want because soon you become a slave to your own desires. You are bound to do whatever you want, and it's never going to satisfy. You're going to have one thing, and yes, you're going to do it, and it's going to feel good for a moment. But then a moment later, you are going to be craving something else. So you're going to be on a lifelong pattern of chasing one high to the next. Freedom? No. See, freedom is when you're truly satisfied. And you need nothing else to accomplish it. That's freedom. Because God freed us from sin. Why would we turn again to it? We are freed from sin, not freed to it. That's freedom. Freedom is not being able to do whatever you want to do. That makes you a slave of your own desires. Why not? Because we have a better guide. Through the prophet Jeremiah, God tells us this. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord. He is like a shrub in the desert and shall not see any good come. He shall dwell in the parched places of the wilderness, in an uninhabited salt land. Do you get the sense of just how much craving is involved in this? Have you ever been in a desert environment? Like if you, ladies with long hair, if you soaked your hair and you walked outside and just shook it around for about 10 seconds, it is bone dry. Can you imagine how parched your throat becomes in the desert wilderness, constantly craving? But blessed. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green, and is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? That last verse tells me something. It says that I can't trust my own heart. Disney, you were wrong. Can't follow your heart. And if I can't follow my own heart, why would I trust anybody else's other than the only perfect heart that exists, God's? Can you imagine? Can you imagine if everyone in the world could just do whatever they wanted without reprisal, without hindrance? Because we talk about being free and we have this concept that it means you can do just whatever you want. Look, you can either choose your action or your consequences, but you cannot choose both. If I want to lose weight, that's my consequence that I want. That means I'm going to have to work out, diet, and not chow down on a whole bunch of carbs. I can't choose my action. I cannot choose to be a hog every day out of the week and lazy and still lose weight. I can choose my action. Sorry, guys, I just ruined it for you, didn't I? But I cannot choose my consequence. That's freedom. See, if everybody was just allowed to do whatever they want, you know they make horror movies about stuff like that? Because it scares us, because we know that deep down some of us want to do things that are wrong. That are just painful, hazardous. See, freedom is when we see that truth and we live in it. We obey that truth. Freedom doesn't ignore the human condition. It recognizes it, and it knows that the answer is not to be a slave to our own desires, but to control them, not to let our impulses be masters over us, but we master ourselves. See, we are freed from slavery finally. We are freed from slavery in sin to now serving God. Freedom is not just doing whatever you want. It's being able to do what you were meant to do, what you were made for. That makes you a creation of God's design. Because freedom is love in action. Check out these last three verses, Galatians 5, 13 through 15. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. You ask, how can I serve God? Serve God's people. Serve God's creation. That's how we serve God. He says, serve one another out of love. For the whole law is fulfilled in this one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. Rather than being in bondage to the law or our sinful nature, the Galatians were to be in bondage to one another. He says, serve each other. And this he is writing to a group of Christians that did not deserve it. Read through the rest of the book. These were not lovey-dovey saints. They had major problems going on. He even has to warn them in this last verse, don't devour one another. I mean, what kind of person do you have to say that to? He's saying, don't let your egos obscure your vision, making it about winning, about who is right, rather than about what is right. Because quite often, we get into the point that this is my right, you're impinging my freedom. No. I'm not impinging your freedom. This is an opportunity to do what is right, not just to make yourself right. Peter even, he backs this up, telling us to live as people who are free. Not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor. The most accurate translation of that word servant is literally a bondservant. It's somebody who had to sell themselves into slavery because of a debt. They recognized they owed someone something. We owe God everything. That indebtedness. But this term, servant of God, is not a derogatory term. It was actually used of national Israel. It was used of heroes of the faith like David, Moses, Elijah. It was actually a term of respect to be the servant of the King of the universe. The servant of the King of the universe outranks any king on earth. Let me just make that very clear. Freedom, though, comes with responsibility. That's what service is. He says, honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the emperor. And this was at a time when governmental and political corruption was at its highest in history. Do a little research on Nero. Whenever you think our government's bad, just research Rome. Always makes me feel better. It says that there are responsibilities in serving with our freedom. The boundaries and freedom are not there as dampers on our liberty, though. They are a result of our liberties. Because if we are to remain free, there are things that we do to preserve that freedom, right? We have to recognize that we have Veterans Day, right? We recognize, and Memorial Day, we recognize that in order for us to remain free, some people gave up some of their liberties. Same thing happens for us. There are boundaries. To remain free, we act within those limitations. We don't break the law. We don't entrap ourselves. Our freedom in Christ is dependent on our connection with Him. Jesus even says this in John 15:5, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Let me say this very clearly, that if your freedom takes you away from Christ, it is not freedom. It is doing nothing but cutting you off from your source of freedom. Don't let freedom in your mind, what you think of freedom being, take you from the Christ who provided that freedom with his own blood. Through Christ, we are finally free to be able to do what we always wanted to do, never realized what we were designed to do, what we were meant to do. We can finally reflect the image of God. We can finally please Him. We can finally live free. In a moment, our choir and various members of our community, thank you all for joining in today, they're going to share some things about our country. Usually on this day, pastors have to debate, okay, am I going to preach the gospel or am I going to preach politics and about our nation? I don't have to do that. I'm always going to preach the gospel. Let me just make that very clear. I'm always going to preach the Bible. And it is going to apply to politics and it is going to apply to our country. But I want us as a nation, as a church, as a community, and as a nation, I want us to think through what does it mean to live free according to what we just saw. Because it's not just about what you can get, and it's not just about the American dream. It's about pursuing freedom in Christ. So as we are learning about our nation, in its origins, in what God has done, always look for that. What is God doing in our nation? Ask yourself this question. What would it look like for me to live free? Would you bow with me in prayer as the choir comes up? God, our Father, we are so grateful for this nation, for the fact that we can get together this morning with freedom, with liberty, without fear of reprisals. God, you are so good. Lord, we do ask that you would bless our country, not because we deserve it, but because we desperately need it. We need your Spirit working in your people. We need people in leadership, we need people in our culture, we need to be your church. Lord, may we live free. May we live connected to you. God, we do not want to see freedom become an idol, that we would cling to what we perceive as rights, what we think our freedoms are, and let go of you. Lord, wherever you are, there, we are free. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Perhaps there is nothing more fragile in this world than liberty and freedom. That's why Paul says this, "But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord." Freedom that is limited and it will only last in this life is no freedom at all, friends. Don't just settle for the freedom that we sing about in our national anthems. Those are great and we absolutely must have them. But let it be the freedom that leads you to a true, ultimate, eternal freedom. The freedom we find in that blazing torch, the cross, the true Statue of Liberty. Would you close with me in a word of prayer? Lord, for 235 years of freedom, for the blessings we have enjoyed as a nation, for your gracious hand upon us, we are forever grateful. May we live in that freedom and pass that freedom on to generations after us. May we continue to seek the freedom that comes through your Son, Jesus Christ. May we be truly called the land of the free, because wherever you are, there is freedom. We ask this in Jesus' name for your glory. Amen. Thank you. May you have a wonderful 4th, and may each of you wake up tomorrow morning with as many fingers as you had at the beginning of today.